time, a few mistakes ago, I was in your sights. You got me alone. You found me. You found me. You found me. I guess you didn't care, and I guess I like that. And when I fell hard, you took a step back. Without me. Without me. Without me.
And she's all. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, it's Sunday, random Sunday, but not so random today on Podzilla 1985 with me, your host, Shannon Young, back with you after a week absence, which I will actually talk about on Tuesday's show.
Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what you were doing? It was like the Aviator. You were locked in a room pissing in milk bottles.
What?
It was the room.
You've never seen that movie?
I've never seen that movie.
This is the room. He's Jodie Foster. That's what happened.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think Jodie Foster and I have the same taste in women.
I would agree.
Hey, so yeah, I'm back.
Oh, wait a minute. I just got that joke.
Did you get that one? I want to thank everybody for your concern for my safety, but I'm alive and well. And next to me, back for a second week, because we're talking about GameStop again, Big Johnny.
Big Johnny in the
emancipated.
House. That's right.
Johnny. Mm. Johnny, how you doing tonight?
Johnny, let's just call him unemployed Johnny.
Johnny on the spot.
Johnny needs to go to the spot.
Next to Johnny, of course, is the lovely Jesse Kimball, the other half of the Podzilla brainchild. Jesse, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm glad to have you back. I've missed you. Tanner Thursdays wasn't the same without you.
They said the same thing about wrestling, too. And I listened to both shows, and they were both good. First off, they were both good. But I miss being on there. I thought, yeah.
Especially, cool. Like, I know since we were talking about movies.
Oh, horror movies.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I was like, hurt. Oh man, Tanner. Shannon's gonna be listening to this just like itching, like,
mm. I was. But, and Lindsay can attest to this, I was so out of it for the past couple of days that, I'm lucky to be alive right now. Let's just put it that way. We'll talk more about that later. But right now, we got a special guest. This is not the kind of gentleman that comes around very often, so we have to make a big deal out of it. My old friend, and top Podzilla 1985 contributor on Patreon, might I add, Kevin Schenkelberg. Kevin, how the fuck are you?
Fan-fucking-tastic, man.
It is good to see you.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm just ecstatic.
Now, Kevin, myself, and Jesse, we worked at GameStop for many years together, all three of us. Mm-hmm. And then Big Johnny came into the fold That's a little right. bit later. Mm-hmm. Lindsay. Oh,
God. No, watch out!
Okay.
Everything broke?
Everything's fine.
Good. Everything's fixed.
Lindsay just... Let's just save the mic.
That's right. We'll do it live. We'll do it live.
We don't edit shit.
Fuck that shit, man. It's fine.
So anyway, so Big Johnny came into the fold a little bit later, and we all endured GameStop for many years. That's why tonight, in response to our last week's, the only show I was on last week was the GameStop show, which everyone loved, but everyone said, where's the anger?
We're going to bring the hate.
We're going to bring the hate, because John's the one that said, where's the anger? He was like, I came on the show to bash GameStop, not suck each other's dicks and give Tucky blowies.
Well, I didn't say it exactly like that, but
you get the gist of it.
I have to say, I was completely excited when I texted you earlier today, and I'm like, hey, we're still doing the show tonight. He's like, yeah. And Kevin's showing up. I'm like, what?
Big deal. We might get happen.
Literally replied, wow.
We knew, because I knew the heat was coming. If we had Kevin, I knew the heat was going to be
Jesus
here tonight.
Jesus Christ. So Kevin's been gone for many, many years up in St. Louis, though. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Doing his thing, putting his groove down.
We're smacking groove.
Oh. We miss you a lot first, but you've mellowed out a lot. You seem so much more calm and happy than the Kevin I knew back then, which is good for you because I sworn you were going to have an aneurysm back in those days.
just from one random person, just someone saying hi. Just pop. There goes Kevin.
No, you can't. No.
What the fuck you mean hi? Google Dolls. That's a gay name for a band.
Fuck that guy, all right? Fuck that guy. That motherfucker doesn't even know, right? Oh, man.
Mm. Well, Kevin, thank God you're here.
Well, I appreciate
saving this sinking ship. Johnny, I want to start with you.
All right, let's go, Big
Dog. Let's talk about this. Last week, we talked about GameStop. We shared some funny stories. But it's not all fun stories. You wanted to bring the Venom. Bring the Venom.
All right.
Give me something to work with,
First
Johnny.
Of all, I've got a little disclaimer here.
Kevin just took his jacket off and showing the tattoos, by the way. Johnny's also showing the tattoos.
You can see it through the microphone.
Jesse and I are the only one that ain't tattooed.
One of the biggest complaints I got from last week's show was, you're sitting here talking about how much you hate GameStop, but in fact, you sat at home moping and crying for 10 weeks that, you didn't have a job. Okay. So let's go into that a little bit.
All right.
Okay. So I was the store manager of 261 in West Park Mall. That store got shut down.
And that's the one I might add that we all I mean, started
that
at DB,
was, that was the home base. That was the home base, basically. Yeah. So that got shut down. I sat at home. I drew a paycheck because it was basically they were like, here you go. We don't have a spot for you. There you go. Here's you some money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was sad. I was depressed. My store was closed down. And yes, I was the one, in fact, that petitioned myself to get my job back in GameStop. So it's not like I'm sitting here just killing the store that they just completely destroyed me. Yes, I did, in fact, ask to come back to GameStop. And yes, I did get my job back. I was the one that put myself back into that position.
Yeah.
I could have just went somewhere else at that point, but no, I actually begged for a job back. So I wanted to clarify that. Yes, I did ask to go back.
And you regretted it, didn't you?
At first, it was not bad. It was not bad starting out. I was happy to be back. It was great. It was so cool to be back in this place, but no, the difference between what I did, it's weird. It's the same company, but from the difference between the small store I was running and the strip store was completely different. The clientele was completely different. Just, there was a lot of stuff that was completely different with that store.
You were near a Walmart.
Yeah.
First off.
You get the high quality.
You get
there.
The high quality people when you get that long. I hate that strip store. I always did. I hated it when I worked there. I hated when I managed it. I hated everything about it. It's just different. Like you said, it doesn't feel as nice. You get people banging on the doors outside trying to get in. It's just a horrible, horrible place. I'm noticing my own mic level. Sorry. I'm always editing.
We kept a tally during holiday season of how many times we got cursed out in a day.
I think we did that, didn't we?
Yeah, well, no,
we got cursed out a lot.
I think we ran out of ink.
Honestly, we really didn't get cursed out that much during like the regular holiday season. It wasn't until December 26th. That we would get cursed out.
Oh, you mean return day?
Return day. Because up to that point, it seemed like everybody was just in a great mood. Like, we were always slammed, but everybody was always really understanding. I mean, you'd get the occasional asshole, but it wasn't that bad. It wasn't until December 26th when people would have brand new product they were opened up. Well, Jimmy didn't like this. Well, that's too bad for Jimmy. I'm really sorry for you.
Fuck Jimmy.
But Jimmy opened up the game and played it. I cannot give you cash back.
Yeah, Jimmy should have took up reading.
Jimmy should have researched this before he put this Xbox 360 game in his original Xbox.
Hey, man, it says box on it,
all right? It says DS, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, the 3DS. And Wii U was probably the worst about getting returns.
Well, the
whole thing was a return. When you bought it, you returned it.
Yeah, we can do a whole show on marketing and how awful marketing is with some of that.
So many people got mad. I didn't know this was for Wii U. I thought I could play it on my Wii.
But we're not mad at
Nintendo. How much is that little pad to buy for my Wii?
Can I get just the controller?
Can I get just the controller?
Is that a new
for
handheld?
My Wii?
It is.
Is that a new handheld?
Hey, so the kids can take that with them on a trip, right?
I want to say to all of you guys out there right now,
they can't do much.
Who have done that to us, who have asked us questions like that and said, hey, what's that new Wii controller? Is that the new handheld? Stuff like that. Clearly you have the internet because you're listening to the show. So use Google to research things a little bit before you ask dumbass questions.
I mean,
said it.
Yeah, I know. I heard it. I mean, I heard it. Granted, it was a lot of problem with marketing was the huge issue there. Now, I don't blame the people that had those questions. That's fine. I do blame the people that got pissed off at us for not asking those questions until it was too late.
Well, but remember, you're always wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You work there. Right. Customers are always wrong. They're always right.
Hey, customers, let me let you in on a hint. Let me start off by saying, and we talked about this last week, for all the shit that GameStop puts you through and annoys you with, it's not our fault. It's the company's fault. The company makes us do all that shit. You think we want to bother you when you come in looking for games?
No.
I don't give a fuck. When people come in through Gaming Grounds, I let them chill. You want to look at games? Look at games. You need help? Let me know. GameStop, you got to be on that shit 24/7. Because if you're not, you're going to get an email. You're going to have a conference.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bug the shit out of people. So you don't hate GameStop.
Any games you're looking forward to coming up? Hey, I see you're looking at some used stuff. Or I see you're looking at some new stuff. Let me direct you to used. Now we got this power-up card makes used even better if you don't have one of those. Like, that's a whole conversation that they actually want you to have on the floor with these customers.
Hey, why don't you go ahead and take that game you just bought, bring it back, trade it in, so you can put that towards the next big title you want.
Right,
to play.
Yeah, they come in to buy a brand new game. By the way, if you bring it back within 30 days, I guarantee you get $30 in store credit for it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that game you're paying the game you're paying $60 for right now, you bring it back within 30 days. That is a $30 30-day rental.
That's right.
And people see that, like, for whatever reason, GameStop thinks it's a good idea to advertise it that way.
That's not even, you can get it cheaper than that at Hastings.
Yes, you absolutely can.
It's $7 a week there. Guess what? That's $28.
We're going to give you $30. We're going to give you $30 for it and then turn around and resell it for $55.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember their wonderful, deceitful practice they got busted for?
Which one?
On the EA games that required a $10 online pass, and they were selling the game for $55. So if you bought the pass, it's $65, so it cost more for a pre-owned game than it did buying a new game.
And eventually they dropped the price on that, thank God, because they got so busted on it. Yeah, yeah.
But you had your power-up card. I mean, come on.
You saved 30%. Yeah, I mean, you know, that drove me crazy. So here's a company that likes to scam people out of money. Flat out. Here's a company that likes to take people's money. It doesn't matter. And yet, to sell things better, we would all tell people, and let me clarify, there's the power-up card, which used to be the Edge card. And what does that card do? Here's the only thing that people care about. It saves you 10% on used games. Mm-hmm. What could you not lead with? It saves 10% on used games.
They did change it.
Thank God they did, because
I remember
that baffled me.
Yeah, whenever it was, that was back in the day when it was the Edge card, and we were selling subscriptions. And we had to sell the subscription. We had to lead with that. You get Game Informer magazine.
For the subscription.
Yes.
You sell the subscription, and the 10% is a bonus, but you can't talk about it.
Because, well, no, you could talk about it, it just had to be the afterthought. Like, and if you subscribe to Game Informer magazine, you also get this cool card that does this for you.
It wasn't the focal point.
Yeah.
And it should have been.
And it got to the point where they told us we didn't have to pitch it at all. So I know, like, there towards the end, me and Big Johnny, whenever we were pitching a card, like, you get 10% off this. Hey, can I get your email address? You need it to activate. And we wouldn't even tell them about Game Informer. Suddenly they would get it in there because it went to digital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you could choose digital versus physical. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't even tell them about it. We would just take their email address and send it to their inbox.
Well, oh, yeah. And the company loved us too. They're like, oh, God, you're doing so good on your digital subscriptions.
Yeah, that was the only
time. Because we didn't tell them about it.
I ain't got an email. You can't send that to me.
Like, they would send us out the numbers, like, of who's got the most digital subscriptions versus, like, physical. We would have, like, the second highest number would be like 25% digital. You go to like 261, like 95% of the subscriptions we sold in store were digital because we didn't tell people about the magazine at all. Because who gives a fuck?
We didn't even put the magazine out to look at.
Nope. No, we did not.
I was going to say, I hated the digital thing. I wanted an actual fucking magazine. Mm-hmm. I have Nintendo Powers because I like to collect them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, who bought it for the magazine?
No one.
Nobody.
And it.
It's trash. When you get it in, you just throw it away anyway.
Yeah, now I do really now. Want. Like, as soon as I don't think I get them anymore, but.
You do. There was one last week.
I don't know, because I don't care. And how many, you know, at the mall store, especially Kevin and Jesse and John, I don't know how much you guys checked the mail after I left.
Oh, yeah.
But how many fucking magazines would be in there?
People didn't want the magazine. Yeah. Like, people were like, well, I don't want the magazine.
We'll just,
and like, send well, fine. We'll just give you the card. Fine. Like, we'll just give you the card. He's like, I don't want the magazine. Cool. Is there a price difference? No. That's fine. I just want the card. So we just mail it to ourselves. We mail it to, like, the store. We would mail it to friends.
Yeah. There were people all across the world, my friends, that I would send the card to.
Like, Trevor Camp had a Game Informer magazine for years because I would just send it to him. Yeah. Every time
I don't know how many times
expire.
I looked from the computer. There was first name game, last name stop.
Charlene had quite a few.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you first start working there especially, I felt so pressured to get numbers that I would sign up people that had no interest in it. Like Lindsay's and my friend Ariel, she had a subscription. She lives in Pennsylvania. She has a subscription at the Cape store because I signed up for her and paid cash.
She likes to travel.
I was so paranoid that I was going to get fired for not getting numbers. That's how much pressure they put on you that I would flat out cheat the system. Yeah, I did beneficially to them. And, people would get magazines because I would pay for them just because I was worried.
Right. That actually happened to me at Blockbuster. I mean, Blockbuster, they pressured you so hard to get people to try their mail-in service when they were trying so hard to compete against Netflix.
Yeah.
It was like, you have to get 10 a day. You have to get them. Yeah. So I was making up email addresses and making fake accounts just to try to hit my 10 a day. And they still ended up firing me. Come up with some kind of stupid excuse saying I was stealing shit to fire
soda, wasn't it? You were stealing soda.
Yeah, yeah. I was stealing soda.
You're stealing boxes. Were you trying to make a clubhouse?
How'd you get fired on your day off?
I was stealing boxes of some shit.
No, and mind you, for the people that don't know, is that we didn't work on commission.
No.
The only reason
there's
we
so
put
many
pressure
people
on this,
think we do.
We had so many people above us that were like, listen, motherfucker, you don't put this numbers in, you're going to go away. Like, you're not going to work here anymore. You need to do this.
Yeah.
But we're not going to beneficially pay our employees anymore because they put pressure on people.
They don't give you any reason to succeed other than the fact that you'll lose your job.
Exactly.
I sat on a conference call once and asked, sorry, Jesse, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I asked the DM, I don't know if it was Jackie or who it was, but I said, a lot of my guys here are discouraged and they don't want to work because, you know, we're so fucking cruel to them. How can I motivate them? And the guy said, one of the other managers from GameStop said, tell them there are other people that would love to have that position. I said, so you want me to threaten to fire them unless they get happy? That's like, fucked up.
Yeah.
Jesse, that's fucked up.
Oh, yeah. No, that was and it was one of those things they made very sure to tell us. Like, you absolutely cannot be fired for poor numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a loophole. You can be written up for not doing what you're told. Insubordination.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. John, I believe, got written up for that more than once.
I got hit once with that.
Okay, like I know she threatened you quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, I got threatened quite a bit.
Insubordinate motherfucker.
So it's one of those things, like they can't fire you for having poor numbers, but they can write you up for insubordination. Mm-hmm. Then they can write you up a second time for insubordination, which is like some sort of punishment. And then if they write you up a third time for insubordination,
you're gone.
Yeah.
So they couldn't technically fire you for low numbers, but they could fire you for not raising your numbers like you were told.
And
they,
the manager standpoint, it's even worse because not only are you graded on your performance, but the performance of your crew.
Right.
So if you're doing wonderful, great, you've got all these power up awards, reservations, that's good on you. But why is this guy that's just a regular game advisor, he only has like one power up card for the week? What are you going to do about that?
Because he only worked 3 hours, jackass.
Yeah. Mind you, you got 40 hours for the store total.
What are you going to do about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I mean, that did happen. Like I would see emails from Jackie and, like, what was his name? Drew, that was the power up guy, or I don't remember.
Drew at one time.
Yeah.
Was,
either way, we would see emails coming in from those guys. Like, why does this GA only have like, you know, why do they have zero? Why do they have one? And it was literally because like they worked 1 3-hour shift last week.
Well, right. that means if they would have got one, they would have had a great percentage.
Then their answer was, well, why aren't you working with them in that 3 hours to train them better? It always came back to the manager and how are you fucking up your store?
Right. And it's one of those things, like, there was no option for it. Like, if there are no customers, we can't have any numbers. It's like we had, because then in those people that would have zero or one, they may have one transaction on the night. Maybe. Because it would be dead during the night.
That's what I tell Lonnie here. Is, you know, he's like, well, we didn't do great sales on a day. I'm like, yeah. We had probably 6 people come in the entire time, but those 6 people bought something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm doing my job.
Right.
You know?
It's like you can't.
And Lonnie understands that, at least. Lonnie is sensible and goes, okay, if 5 people come in the store and you sold 5 items to them, you did your job. GameStop would see it as, well, why didn't you get them to buy more?
Why weren't you standing outside with a big sign like, hey, come in the store?
Why didn't you get them to buy more pre-owned games? Why didn't you sign them up for a power-up card? Why didn't you get them to reserve something? Why didn't you get them to buy a new system?
Because all these guys that have never worked a day in the store. Sorry, Kevin, I'm going
to
let you talk one day.
Fine. I was just going to say, because you forgot to bring your handgun to the store and force them to do it.
But you need that handgun.
How many times, though, would you work behind a counter, especially as the managers, and you would run a cash wrap, but they always told you don't let the new employees run the cash wrap. Mm-hmm. Let them be on the floor.
Yeah.
Well, how the fuck are you going to put in a fucking number if you're never behind the fucking cash wrap?
Yeah, that's
you
exactly
can't type
right.
it in. You're just handing the game to the manager behind there.
Yeah, here you go. They want to pre-order this, this, and this, and then right. I get the pre-orders for it.
And
now
by the way,
GA looks like shit.
Yeah, don't log in to the GA's account to do that because that'd be insubordination.
You're fired
you're
straight
done.
Up for that.
So
well, you almost got fired or at least written up for coming behind the counter once to check out a game.
Cause,
remember that?
Who the fuck was?
That was, was Courtney.
Yeah.
Yeah, cause we didn't know Courtney. And she didn't know you.
That's right.
And you walked behind the counter and she was like, did you need something? I'm gonna check out a game. Well, one of these guys can get it for you. And just the look on Kevin's face, he's like, I can get my own fucking game.
Bitch. What's wrong with you? Like, listen, I've been working here longer than you even fucking know what a game is.
I almost got wrote up once because we had a calendar in the back to write days off with. And Krista had come in on her day off and went in the back to write the day on the calendar.
Shout out to Krista.
What? Yeah.
Shout out to Krista.
How's Louisiana? and then when she left, she goes, why was she in the back? Well, cause she works here. But why was she in the back? Cause she was writing the day off on the calendar. Well, you should have been the one to go back and get the calendar. She didn't need to be in the
back.
But
remember, if you would have gone back there, you'd have lost sales cause you weren't on the floor.
You weren't helping the GAs coaching them.
Why did she go in the back when she's not working? You shouldn't be in the back.
There was so much.
Well, they were terrified of. There was an issue, in our district with an assistant manager that had been getting text messages and had basically been quote working off the clock.
Is this me?
No.
Okay. Let the cat out of the bag. How many of us worked off the fucking clock there?
All the time.
Yeah. Because you were so scared. I'll get your story, Jesse. I'm going to let you finish. I just want to point out of how bad GameStop was about hours and how they made you afraid. When the district manager was coming in and you knew they were coming in, Bobby Atwood especially had me clean off the clock for at least 4 or 5 hours at the end of the night because the store would look bad and I had to make it spotless for him the next day. So I put in probably 10 to 15 hours a week at that store off the clock, and I got nothing for it. But I was so scared of losing my job there that I did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that happened. And then, the final of that story, there was an assistant manager that was let go.
Was this me?
God damn it, no, it wasn't you.
You ain't wrong. It's a different one.
I mean, you were let go, but not for this. I don't know what he was let go for, but the point is, he filed a lawsuit against GameStop to get all of the unpaid hours back.
Because
he kept every single text message from the store manager.
Yep.
And he turned that shit over.
Yeah.
So yeah, they went through this really long lawsuit, ended up having to pay out an ass load of money to this dude because he, sued GameStop for it.
We actually found this out from our HR manager for our region. And I will say, out of all the people that I ever met within GameStop, there's only one guy that I truly respected, and that was that HR manager because he was an awesome guy. He told us about this, told us this whole story about how he saved every text message and was suing GameStop over unpaid wages.
That's good.
Yeah, because I mean, like,
paper trail.
Big Johnny, how much money could I have gotten out of GameStop if I had done
that? Oh, good Lord.
I got text messages from John, from Katie, from Lily, like, whatever was happening, like, if something was going on at the store, I got a text message.
Wait.
I even had Jackie would call me occasionally. Like, Jesse, I know you're off the clock. Make sure you add in time. But even fucking Jackie would call me when I wasn't home.
Mm-hmm. Well, say, are we talking about you actually went into work or just the fact they're calling you asking you questions?
Calling me asking questions.
Oh, I could sue now then. My 40-hour job is like a 140-hour job.
Well, yeah, but he pays for your phone.
Fuck. Lonnie Chapman owns me.
That's all right. You can buy a new car.
So
I can roll with this motherfucker here.
It's all good to know. It's fine.
With this Nissan Rouge.
Wait a minute.
Don't park it downtown. All right.
Yeah, so, there's certain parts of Cape you'll want to not park that car.
Right. They were hard R's. They were super anal about like absolutely no working off the clock. Don't even do anything resembling working off the clock.
Don't even step in the store.
Yeah, don't come in the fucking store.
Yeah, if you're off the clock.
Unless you were coming in to purchase something as a customer and then you're just in, out.
Which, again, and I know you guys touched on this last week, is we had such a policy that says, why don't you check out a game to know it? Okay, yeah. I was coming to check out a game. Why the fuck would I buy a game if I can check it out for free? But you can't let me come in the fucking store to check it out for free.
You should have been doing that on your shift.
Yeah.
Oh, but.
But don't do it on your shift.
You got to be selling shit.
Because on your shift. Work.
Because, listen, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah,
that store would just make your brain hurt.
It's back and forth.
No, they basically would say a bunch of stuff to protect themselves from any sort of litigation. Like, well, he did it, but we told him not to. So, like, if say Kevin were to, you know, be working off the clock in that particular instance, and you know, they would just, if Kevin were to bring up charges, like, well, I didn't get paid for this. Like, well, we told you not to be there, and then that's the end of the case.
Unless you save the text messages.
Right.
And thank God that you work there because you don't want any of the higher ups working there because there was a time.
Oh, God.
True story.
Atrocious.
And I think it was Jackie. I don't think it was Carrie because Carrie I love. If Carrie's listening to this, I love you. I want to do things to you sexually.
What?
I said it. I'll say it in front of every single one of you.
For these motherfuckers and himself.
I hope Carrie's not listening to this.
I also hope that.
Facebook friended her. It's fine.
No, it's fine. Don't tell her. I'm pretty sure it was Jackie. It may have been Courtney, but Bob was working. And Donnie, you all know Donnie.
You know Donnie. Yeah.
Donnie, love Donnie. He goes up and he picks up the game. What was that really terrible vampire game? Vampire Reign. That's it.
Wait, the first one or the second one? Because it doesn't matter. They were all terrible.
But he holds up the game. He says, is this very good? And we all know it's a terrible game. I don't think Lindsay was working there at that point. She knew it was a terrible game. Billy, little Billy back there, knew it was a terrible game. Hey, Billy.
You heard the wave. It's fine.
Before Bob can say, no, it's awful, Jackie walks up and goes, that's a great game. My kids play it all the time.
Oh.
I got scolded from Jackie for that.
For telling him a game was good?
My assistant manager, John, which I'm sure won't mind me dropping name. My assistant manager, John, somebody had brought up a game, said, what do you think about this? And he goes, that game is a piece of garbage. I don't even remember what game it was. He goes, that game is a piece of garbage. Do not play that game. Go put it back where you found it. Jackie pulls me off to the side and says, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You tell a customer about a game, but you don't give your opinion about that game.
But they asked your opinion.
Well, I was always told you find the good qualities. Right? Yeah. You don't talk about the bad. You find the good qualities.
So I heard that so many times.
Yeah. So if someone came in and said, you guys remember the game Darkest Days? That really terrible, like, time traveling first person shooter. And they were like, what do you think of Darkest Days? I had the DM staring at me. So I literally, I was like, well, I mean, it's a shooter and it's got time travel in it. I really like time travel. So time travel is one of my favorite science fiction styles. Comes up to
you, what do you think of Two Worlds?
Oh, well, it's an RPG.
You can play it. You can turn that on.
It's playable.
You put it in your machine.
Easy. Easy. Playable is a little, that's pushing it.
There's more than one world
in it. It's glitchable, all right? Don't worry about it.
We'll make it delishable.
Can I get through the character creation? Not easily.
Not all the time.
Are you
not
a fan of bugs?
It does crash.
You like
bugs?
Did you want to be a game tester? Would you like practice? Yeah, GameStop wants you to see the positive side of everything. And then as soon as you do, they'll just tear you the fuck apart for anything. It doesn't matter how well you do. I don't know how many times we were just knocking res out of the fucking park. Mm-hmm. Just knocking out of the park. Mm-hmm. And I would sit there and go, okay, emails are coming in. They're about to go, 261's knocking out of the fucking park. Shannon Young, Jesse Kimball, those guys, they're fucking geniuses. Mm-hmm. What does the email say? Why is your power up so low?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Unless you are number one in every category, you are failing.
Yeah. They don't congratulate. They only tell you how bad
you're
doing.
There was that, okay, the super year. Where we, like, me and Shannon, and I think Matt Sin has the third trophy.
Big Sin.
The Triforce.
We
have the Triforce.
So we have these trophies from when we were.
That Teddy tried to take, by the way.
Yeah, he did. We were top three.
It would be.
Top three in the entire company.
In three different categories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Top three in the entire goddamn company. But we were still getting railed for reserves and power-ups because they weren't quite up to snuff.
We were making them hand over ham over
ham.
Fist and money.
Ham!
Rum ham!
They did not care.
We were making them rum ham!
So, shortly before she was fired, we had come up with a nickname for Jackie. We called her Kanye West. And that's because, no matter what you said to Jackie, her response was, okay,
but
I'm gonna let you finish. Okay,
I'm going to let you finish, but so we could say, hey, we're having a really good week in power-ups, but how are your reserves? We're doing really good in power-up and reserves, but how are your sales?
And they could go
we're doing really good in sales, but how's your pre-owned sales?
So and we'll ask you this, especially as a listener. Dude.
How's your GPGs?
We know this at this table right now, but if you come into a store you don't want to be sold to over and over again, I'm going to ask you one thing and you say, thank you, I just want to buy this and I want to leave. But hold on, there's more.
Yeah.
Check out this other door.
But wait.
Because I got five things I need to sell you in under 30 seconds. Because you got 12 people in line behind you. Mind you, this is Christmas season. Every motherfucker wants a Wii. We ain't got them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad they eventually, at GameStop, to their credit, they eventually took power up and reserves out of the equation for holidays.
And I believe they also, didn't they take counts off?
No.
During a specific time? Or
they would shorten them.
It is this year.
They're probably buzzing down. Yeah.
There are several things they did with this year. Confidential information. There's several things they're going to take care of for this holiday season.
If any GameStop employees are listening right now, shut it off. Legally, you have to.
Does that work?
No.
That's fine. Just sign a paper.
Okay.
Sign it.
I'm already threatened to get sued anyway.
So.
Yes, sir. I got your back, motherfucker.
So suddenly Kevin's a lawyer. That's now, what he's been doing.
And I hit on this last week. Power up and reservations aren't supposed to be like shoved down your throat anymore. You suggest them, but you don't shove them down people's throat anymore. It's not part of that conversation at the counter.
Gotcha.
Counts during holiday season are non-existent now. They feel like you should be able to do other things, get the store prepped and ready to go. Mm-hmm. So counts are gone. And then they are one of the companies, and they may have made this public already. I don't know if they've made it public yet. GameStop will not be opening at midnight for Black Friday. They will open at 5 a.m.
Well, hold on now. Little Johnny needs his motherfucking game at 1 a.m., okay?
You know what? I will give GameStop credit because that's a bullshit thing. Any store that opens up on Thanksgiving or even at midnight, I don't even like midnight. If you open up on Thanksgiving, you're garbage.
Yep.
I want to point that out. That is a horrible thing to do to people.
And a lot of companies are doing this too because I know, like, I heard recently Staples will not be open on Thanksgiving Day.
Thank God.
But how am I going to get my office chairs?
I want my paper clips.
I want to get my goddamn keyboard, but don't worry, you can go to GameStop for that.
They sell everything fucking else under the sun. They've got selfie sticks now.
Oh,
of course they do.
What the fuck does GameStop need with a selfie? Oh,
because they're in cell phones.
This is
going to
put me back in the hospital.
No, listen.
There are a few companies that have already said, they've gone out and said, like, we're not going to be open on Thanksgiving, which is great. Walmart, of course, will be. I'm almost certain.
Walmart doesn't close, though, so that's, you know.
Well, they close on Christmas and Thanksgiving.
No.
Well, they have to.
You might be right.
They have to have some days to sacrifice unicorns to stay open longer.
I've worked at Thanksgiving at Walmart.
Oh, well.
How do you think they got to get their dragon, the dragon blood?
They got
the
dragon blood.
Just to keep the store going.
God damn, they got
to
get the dragon blood. Oh.
Is that the same dragon blood that hospitals use for their ambulances?
What?
You not remember that part of the show from
the
healthcare? That's
why it's so expensive,
right? Because it cost you $400 to take an ambulance.
The dragon scales. That's what it was.
Scales to keep it going. And dragon blood. That's the fuel for ambulances.
That's what it is.
Right. Okay. Fuck. That makes sense.
Well, don't you know if you get loaded into an ambulance, the ambulance stops, and then you get turned into Demon Kane, and you come out of the ambulance?
I thought you said Dean Kane. That's not
Demon. Demon Kane.
Damn.
And then you can do an asylum movie. And
funny enough, whenever you guys said Dean Kane earlier, I heard Demon Kane.
Demon Kane. Oh.
That was my comment for Hunter Hendricks.
And we just went full circle.
All right. Hi, Hunter.
So who would you guys rather have in a movie? Demon Kane or Dean Kane?
What's the movie?
Dictates the movie.
The movie is...
Wait, is it produced by Sci-Fi?
Isn't there a WWE?
Asylum.
There is a WWE movie with that, isn't there?
With Demon Kane?
What's the one where Dean Kane fights Big Show in the prison?
Oh, yeah, the one that just came out.
Is it Lockdown?
Locked Up or something?
Locked Up.
But no.
That was the longest yard.
I want to
put the pussy on the chain wag.
Damn.
Not to change the subject, but I want to see the one with Dean Ambrose, because Dean Ambrose's boss, the hard-ass lieutenant cop, is Kane.
No, really?
Yes. Man. He is his supervisor in the movie. It's like 12 rounds 3 or something.
Hey, I can tie this back into GameStop. I can do it.
I can do it. You can tie anything back into GameStop. It's all fucked up.
You got the 2K?
Well, I had that. If you remember, I had those pictures from the WWE strategy guide that we sold, that was open on the shelves for people to buy. I had one, and I cut out the images of the girls, and I posted them on the back of the on the other side of the counter, customers couldn't see, so I could look at them during the day and rub myself. Well,
it was important.
And Shannon wonders why he's no longer employed at GameStop.
No, listen.
Shannon wonders why he's employed anywhere.
We wiped that shit down. No traces.
Yeah. Well, no, we wiped it. We got the guy that cleans the jizz off the walls coming
in. You had to pay him dragon blood.
But I got in trouble for that. One day when I was off, Jackie, or maybe it was after I got fired, Jackie tore him down and said it was offensive.
You're a lesbian. Why don't you like it? We had the same thing with like the bathroom and the entire back room. Like, they made us take Shepherd down.
Mm-hmm. No.
Jackie made us throw away Shepard.
Jesse, tell them what Shepard is for the people that don't know.
Oh, well, Commander Shepard from the Mass Effect series.
I thought you were talking about our Lord and Savior. Oh, goddamn.
Cthulhu,
indeed.
Trump?
You felt in tentacles.
Donald Trump. No, if you went into the bathroom at store 261, before like 2014 when she took it down. Anyway, if you went in before then, you would see Commander Shepard staring at you, telling you to do your duty and
soldier,
get back to your post.
Don't worry, his eyes were pointed down.
I'm pretty sure Bobby Atwood put that on.
I got even better. Over at the Seamers location, when the Michael Jackson experience had came out, when the standee was done, I took the standee and I taped it to the bathroom door on the outside and put on there, come in here, little boy.
That's a hostile work environment, John Massey.
Johnny, you offended a child molester.
That was a public toilet, correct?
Oh, shit. No, speaking, all right, you know what? No, I'm gonna throw this out there. This was at Shoe Carnival. It's not as bad, but you talk about public toilets. Have you ever been to the Shoe Carnival bathroom?
No,
I don't know why you would.
I don't buy shoes.
But when you go in, the customer or the employee lounge area is the same as the public bathroom.
Why would it not be?
And there's a giant board back there, a erasable dry board. And we would write notes to each other, like, hey, make sure you do this, make sure you do that. Or sometimes we just fuck with each other. Well, one day, right. I go back there on my break. I take the red one, and I draw an eyeball that's bleeding. And I put, I see you there for when customers walk in, and just put blood all over the board. And it was that's fantastic. I also wrote a sign once, I just have to mention this, that someone had stuffed the bathroom full of toilet paper. The toilet? Like guess
whole,
who had to
clean? Like the whole bathroom?
Like just the toilet.
Oh,
the toilet.
Okay. All right.
But to the point that I had to unclog it. I did Charlie work that day. So I printed out a sign and put it on the back door of the bathroom that said, please don't. Oh, because it was a diaper. Someone tried to flush a fucking diaper. So I put a note on the door that said, please don't put diapers in our toilets. We don't shove shoes up your kid's ass. That
Shannon
note
was,
did not stay up
that,
there very long.
That is, Shannon was not concerned about his position.
That's a reasonable.
No, I was not.
That's fine.
Shoe Carnival gave me only two good things. And when I think of them, I'll do a show about it.
They gave you a good case of the gout.
They gave me money.
They did give you money for a little while.
Money.
Yeah. Held you over until Lonnie recruited you.
Met some good people there.
But, that's true.
But was the money worth
it? Don't forget, we do have questions.
Jesse,
Or do we just want to rip some more? Because I think we're getting too happy. We need to get angry.
Well, let's answer some questions. We'll get back into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe the questions.
The
maybe
the
questions.
Jesse,
make
I hear
us
we
angry.
Have questions.
Yeah, we got questions. Only two people responded. So I guess only two people were really curious about GameStop. The first one was from Alex Balance.
Actually, I think it's more the fact that they know we'll just tear them apart. They don't even have to ask questions.
It's going to be fun.
I'm sure there was somebody that would have asked a question that normally asks questions.
But they can't.
But since they might be associated with GameStop, they didn't ask a question. And I respect them for that. And if you're listening, I know you're listening.
And I guess a lot of our other question askers know, just from our general ranting, everything they need to know about GameStop.
Yeah. Or they could look on the internet and see that GameStop sucks.
That too. Or they worked there before, like Hunter, I think he's asked a question on everything we've ever posted.
Ooh, damn.
Double H.
Personal friend, close personal friend, local celebrity.
I don't know! Oh. Don't want to do that one. All right, what's the questions?
All right, from Alex. He has a several part question, I guess.
Let's do this.
The first part, worst customer ever.
Eric Siegfried. No.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me think about
Can
this.
Can we say Louis
second.
Benson? I mean,
you can't say that
you
name.
You can't say that name. No.
He who must not be named.
plus, you know what? I'm going to mention Louis real quick. Louis was not the worst customer.
No.
By far.
Louis, he never bought
far from it.
Louis could be a little obnoxious sometimes, but I generally like Louis very much, and, he was definitely not the worst customer. So Louis, if you're listening, which you probably are, I will say that about you. You are not the worst customer. You're a pretty decent guy. Go on.
So big shout out to, Dave Mahoney and Joseph Goodman. Hi, guys.
You know what? Dave Mahoney wasn't even the worst customer.
Nope.
Because Dave Mahoney was annoying as shit. Mm-hmm. But he was at least nice, and he seemed like he genuinely liked you.
Right.
He wasn't a pretentious dick like Eric Siegfried. You remember Eric Siegfried? Mm-hmm. Little midget man? Mm-hmm.
About
2'4"?
Even know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to think of the worst customer ever.
I mean, because there are several bad ones.
So many
of them.
And it really could just change depending. Like, I can't think of any customer that I just consistently, every time they came in, I was like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Any more than any other, you know, customer in that category.
I'm gonna go with Eric Siegfried. Because when he came in, I was miserable.
Now, can you drop it into more of a categorized?
Yeah, because then I would say blanket statement. Anybody that came in smelling like cat piss or anybody that hadn't taken a shower in 6 months.
That.
There are a lot of those.
See, I would say the uppity mothers. Especially around the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody that's ever worked retail would know this. But especially in a store that's oriented towards something the person shopping doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
And is purchasing for someone else.
And they're insulting when they do it.
Every time.
Yeah.
I got money, you don't. You obviously are working behind a counter. You must be a retail.
You're lower than me. I remember one woman asking me once, she asked me about a game for her kid. And when I told her, it's not that good, she said, oh, is it gay? And I thought, you're a grown fucking woman. You're asking me if this game is gay? Jesus Christ.
Good Lord. Just go back to your stove.
Well, the cartridge itself can be sexually oriented towards
they might
cartridges.
Enjoy the company of other cartridges.
This is true.
I also hated the people, customer-wise, the ones that didn't know how to count money. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, me, you, and Lindsay. The ones that would just put a wad down. You would say, all right, it's $21.67. And they put a wad of money down.
Mind you, that wad came out the bra. And it's sweaty and nasty,
yeah.
And they just throw it at you.
Or even just the wad, like a kid or something like that. They just throw my. And I always wanted to, like, if I was a less honest person, I just wanted to
just
pocket whatever was left, give him the coin change. Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't know the fucking difference.
He wouldn't. And if he would ask, like, well, I think I should get more than that back. Well, how much did you give me? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I was called out on this particular, because I was part of that conversation, too. I was called out on this saying, well, what if this kid was, like a special needs kid. We're not talking about special needs kids.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
We're talking about normal kids.
Yeah. We're normal people.
Or adults.
That could
adults kids. Yeah.
We're not talking about anyone with special needs.
No.
We're talking about normal grown people.
If you give an individual with special needs cash, then either A, you need to be understanding that that child is probably going to lose that money, or B, someone needs to be with that child constantly to make to sure yeah. mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. you know, they don't get ripped off.
Because honestly, in yeah. my opinion, I've dealt with special needs customers that can count me out money to the penny.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm going to say, and for all the shit that we talk in retail and at GameStop and here at Gaming Grounds, special needs people that come in, nice as can be
are
to
awesome.
Them.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Because this is their addiction. This is something yeah. they want yes. to do yeah, and play.
And that can talk happy to help them. Can right? talk to you exactly. passionately yes. about it.
Because exactly. they are genuine. They're not pretentious. They're yeah. not trying to be better mm-hmm. than you. Mm-hmm. They love video games, and I respect that. And I, yeah, so absolutely. Special needs people, no problem. 25-year-old guy who goes to college.
Let me get that John Madden. That just came out. I got to get the Madden game.
That motherfucker needs to know how to count money.
Money. Okay. This is one of the probably my favorite stories of counting money at GameStop at all time, and it involves Bob Marler.
God damn it. That's two in this show. Jack.
Where you at, John?
Jack McNeil. No, okay. So this kid comes in. I went to high school with him. He graduated a few years after I did. He was on the academic team with me. And he was sitting there bragging about how he was still in high school at this point. He was a senior. But he was taking Calc 2 in college. He was just doing that. His mom, I think, was also a professor. Either way, he's sitting there bragging about all this math and everything else and all the stuff that he's doing. Basically trying to, you know, put me down, I guess. I don't know. Because I'm just
in you're working at a game
store. By the way, Jesse, you don't know anything about math.
Oh yeah, no,
let you know.
I know. I know
all the people here.
That.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jesse, Common Core bitch.
Yeah, no, Jesse, minor in mathematics, knows nothing about it. So anyway, yeah. So he sits there and he hands the money to Bob because Bob tells him his total. He gets money out and he hands it to Bob while he's still talking to me about all of his math prowess. And then Bob just like looks at the money. He's like, not quite.
And if you know Bob, you've seen his face.
And he just looks at me and he's like, not quite. And the guy just looked at him and was like, what? He's like, you're about $1 and some change off.
I wish I could remember the customer that, cause we always had those customers that, speaking of worst customers, the ones that just want to sit around and talk to you all day.
That know you're forced to talk
yeah,
to them.
And they follow you around. Well, I had one guy that was following me around and telling me about the new, martial arts style he was creating.
He was yeah. creating this.
And I'm just like sitting there going, Jesus Christ, get this kid away from me. That was one of those days that as soon as someone came in at noon or whatever, you would go, I gotta go to the back and work on something. Let me know when he's fucking gone. Also, people that bring in a ton of trades. I know, we need them, but if you bring in a box of trades, this really happened to me.
Especially garbage.
I was about to say, this didn't happen to me at GameStop. This happened to me in another store I work at now. I won't name it. Guy came in and traded in a box of shit.
709 Broadway.
For all your gaming needs.
Except trade-ins.
He brought in a box of games, and it was covered in chicken feathers.
Oh.
What?
Chicken feathers. You know how foul that was?
Good night, everybody.
I got that. We're out.
Yeah. So if you're going to bring trades in, clean the fucking chicken feathers off of them.
Oh, clean them. Don't take shit on your games and bring them to the store, please.
Because it blends in with some of the games they're trading. That's the problem.
There's a guy one time. He brings in a stack of games, and as I'm going through them, I take one and I pop the case open. When I pop the case open, cockroaches hit me in the chest.
Yeah,
and started crawling up me, and I handed every one of his games.
That's the only time John Matthew took his shirt off.
I wish Billy was in on this because Billy, as the repairman, has to open up systems all the time. And Billy, how many times have you just found cockroaches and bugs in there?
He's
stopped touching them because of that reason.
I used to work for a company that worked on cash registers. Anybody want to guess the worst restaurant I ever went to? And it's a chain restaurant.
Oh, I don't know. A Pizza Hut.
Pasta House.
Taco Bell.
No. Nope.
Pasta House.
No. Nope.
McDonald's.
Pasta House.
No. Nope.
Is it Pasta House?
It's Pasta House. No. Chain restaurant with the worst cash registers for roaches.
Steak and Shake.
Anybody?
I mean, there's a lot of
Wendy's. Them. Burger King.
McDonald's.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, does not surprise me. Does not surprise me.
Our Kentucky Fried Chicken is easily the worst Kentucky Fried Chicken.
How many calls I got because the register wouldn't work, and when I opened up the register, a cockroach had fried itself on the board and had to clean it off and resolder the connections to make it work again.
The chicken's just so damn
nasty.
Even the cockroaches are dying.
Nasty.
All right, Jesse. More questions.
Wait, I got one thing before we transition. I apologize. I do specifically remember working at EB Games before that store shut down with Charlene. I was working a day with MC, Mike McBride, and lady came in, bought a PS2 controller. Mind you, this is a long time ago when we were still selling
back
and taking trade.
Sold those, yeah.
Right, fucking terrible. But you get the actual DualShocks that's like $40, $50 controller. You get the The off-brand one. The GameStop brand.
The fucking Mad Cats.
The Mad Cats.
Mad Cats, you piece
when
of
you
shit.
You hate your fucking friend. Are, yeah. Give him a trolley. To,
I just want to, I'm spoiling the story for me. Is this the one where me and you were there and the lady threw something at us?
Yes. This bitch comes in, buys a controller. It's all fine. She leaves. Comes back the next day. Jesse and I are working behind the counter. It's a great day. We're having
it's a
good
new
time.
Day.
It's a new day, baby. Comes in and she says, this controller doesn't work. Okay, well, what's wrong with it? It just doesn't fucking work. Well, that's a really great explanation to the people who don't know what the fuck is going on with the controller. Literally goes off on us. Just goes ham on everybody. Starts screaming. She says, this fucking controller doesn't work. I want another controller. Man, we'll give you
she wanted her money back. That was the problem. Like, she wanted a cash back.
That's right. She wanted the cash back. And of course, it's open. Yeah. We know you fucked the controller up. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So she goes ham. She throws the controller on the ground. We have a little set of scissors and pens behind her. She grabs the fucking scissors and throws them at me. Well, we're in the store.
So you
froze
called,
the scissors.
You called the cops, right? Because that's assault,
we
isn't
took
it?
That bitch out. Like, we were just like, you got to go. There's none. You're out. What? Get going.
What
gone.
What ethnicity was she?
She was white.
White. But
she was
like
an upper middle class
white
bitch.
I mean, worst.
This looked like soccer mom. She was in there with like sweatpants and a local school sweatshirt on.
It was just atrocious.
And yeah,
did
she went to.
Juicy crossy ass.
It did not. But no, she, the first thing she threw at us was an ink pen because she asked for our names. And like, again, we offered to get her another controller. It's like, man, we will happily swap you out with another
she wanted her money
really
back.
Sorry.
It didn't work.
Yeah, we're really sorry. This one didn't work. So, yeah, no, she wanted her cash back. And I was like, man, we'll get you another one.
No, it don't work.
It don't work.
If that one didn't work, what means this one's gonna work? Ma'am, defects happen in electronics. But anyway, so after we wouldn't do it, she got a business card, she grabbed an ink pen, and she asked for our names. Kevin gives her his name, and then she's like, what's your last name? And I was just like, we don't have to give you that information, and we're not going to. And we're like, well, what's your name? Jesse.
Rusty Shackleford.
And then, yeah, and then she throws the ink pen at us, and then, yeah, she just picks up the scissors because she wants to cut. I don't know what the fuck that was. She completely misses that, though. It doesn't come any close, anywhere
Thank
near
God.
Us.
Thank God.
I mean.
Yeah, and she just, like, I think she doesn't throw it at us. She just wants to throw it to make a mess, throw a little tantrum. But no, she threw the ink pen at us. It landed, like, somewhere in between us on the counter.
When I was working at Stephen Berry's once, off topic, but, or sort of, but I asked Randy Kiplinger, if he's listening to this, Kip, what's up, you idiot? good guy. I asked him, I was like, hey, throw me a box cutter. He threw one at me. Open. And I caught it and I was like, holy shit. Kevin, I was there one time when, speaking of bad, last thing on bad customers, when you and I were working one day, and speaking of bad customers, the ones that don't want to give you information when you need the information to do your job.
Oh my God, Jeff Cunningham from KFS.
Jeff Cunningham.
Oh my God.
You don't know who I am. No, motherfucker, I don't.
But right, so why do I have to give you my address?
But before we get to that, there was one specific subject I want to talk to Kevin about because he was there and it was hilarious. It's one of the funniest things I remember where he kept asking the guy, he was like, all right, what's your name? I don't have to give you my name. I have to have a name for a return, man. If you don't want the return, you gotta give me your name. All right. He said his first name. What's your last name? Why do you need my last name?
God,
I just need your last name. All right. What's your address? I'm not gonna give you my address. What's your birthday? What's your birthday? And Kevin told him, he's like, this is my birthday. Now what's yours? And it was like pulling fucking teeth. And I saw Kevin getting angrier. And like I said, if you'd known Kevin in those days, I had to rub Kevin's shoulders like, please don't.
This motherfucker.
Please don't.
Every fucking time you're going to go off on somebody.
Oh, God.
Because it's a daily grind. It's the next person could be the nicest person in the world. They come in and, hey, can I get them? What the fuck you want?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that happens here where I'll have something terrible happen. And then someone will walk in and I'll just go, oh, fucking great. How can I help you? Hi, super cheery. I'd like to buy all this stuff. Okay.
I bet you would.
Yeah.
And then you're just like,
thank you.
All right.
Now, Jeff Cunningham.
God damn it.
Put that son of a bitch on blast.
All right. So, Jeff Cunningham. I think
dick.
I'm the first one to interact with Jeff Cunningham.
Mind you, we all.
We all did.
Dick.
We just didn't know who the fuck he was.
So Jeff Cunningham comes in. And, you know, we're talking about games and stuff like that. And he's talking about trade-ins. He picks up a game. He comes back later that night. And he brings in a stack of games he wants to trade in. So, he does it. And then, I have no idea who this guy is. I don't watch the local news. Spoiler alert for those of you that don't know who Jeff Cunningham is.
I know Todd Richards. He's awesome.
Yeah. So I,
Maloney.
Through the trades and I ask the man, it's like, all right, so what's your first and last name? And he just looks at me. Like, he gives me this look like, the fuck you just asked me?
The fuck you said?
And
you may know me.
Well, no, he didn't even give me that. He was just like, and I thought he maybe didn't hear me. So I repeated myself. First and last name. I just need it for the trades real quick. And he's like, Jeff Cunningham, and I'm like,
all right, cool.
All right, Jeff, what's your address? And he's like, I'm not comfortable giving that information out. I'm like, I gotta have it for the trade-in, man.
I'm not comfortable not doing my job.
The KFES 12.
Yeah, he eventually gave a, he gave me the phone number to the KFES 12 building and the address to the KFES 12 building.
Which might, we're gonna call you if your shit don't work when you trade it in.
Yeah, and I still had no idea who this guy was. I didn't know until the second time he comes in. And I ask him the same set of questions. What's your first and last name? Because at this point, GameStop didn't have a system where you could pull that shit up. You had to type it in every time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you can type it in by phone number. Done. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I ask him again, and some other customers in the store, he's like, wait, you really don't know who he is? And I'm like, no, why should I? And he was like, that's Jeff Cunningham of KFES 12 News. And I'm like, man, I haven't watched the news literally, in years.
Blew your nips off, didn't you? You know who I met at GameStop once and was way cooler than Jeff Goldblum? What's his name? Cunningham.
Wow.
I was about to say Jeff Goldblum. Like, you're done.
Why did you text me? You texted me off hours. I could have came in.
I met Buck Owens.
I don't know who that
is. Who the fuck is Buck Owens?
Hee-haw.
No.
Did you say Hee-haw?
No. I don't know who Buck Owens is. I know a Butch Owens.
Hold on, let me look him
up. Buck Owens was on Hee-haw.
No, Buck Owens the Hunter.
No, get on.
That's
Ted Nugent.
No. No, it's not Buck Owens. It was
Bucka.
What the fuck was his name?
Bucka.
Oh my God.
Well, while you're trying to figure that out, like from also from KVS 12, Marianne Maloney, mm-hmm. She was always really
nice
pleasant.
Lady.
Mary Handy on my Maloney.
I have on Todd Richards, the sports director. One night, I was working with Stephanie, and he come in with his son, traded some stuff in, and Stephanie, you know how timid Stephanie is sometimes. She's like, "Your name?" And I said, "Steph, that's Todd Richards," and she just looks like, "Who?" I mean, I was like, "It's Todd Richards." She looks straight at him. She goes. Mm-hmm. Stephanie looks straight at him and goes, "I don't watch the news."
Yeah. Well, no, of course she doesn't watch the news.
I also think I offended Jeff Cunningham a little bit because they were like ridiculing me for not knowing who he was, and I was like, "Sorry, man, internet's faster."
Yeah, I also
fuck that motherfucker, man. Whatever, man.
I had delivered a pizza to him once when I was a pizza delivery driver. He stiffs too. That makes you the worst person in the world when you don't tip your driver.
Worse than Hitler, honestly.
Well, son of a bitch. I mean, when you don't tip your delivery driver, you're a son of a bitch.
Jesse, are there more questions? We spent 15 minutes on this question.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's just part one of one guy's question.
I know, goddamn.
All right. Alex also asks, and this, I mean, we did a whole show on this, Alex, so I mean, I don't think we're going to get too in-depth on this.
I will.
But what's truly wrong with the whole pre-ordering scheme, and how did it come about as the most popular way of ordering? And then all the antics of DLC and bonuses that came with pre-ordering. Why is it pushed so heavily? Doesn't the $5 down just pay for taxes anyway? How is it bad for the gaming market? I'm going to answer that real simply.
I want to call out Jesse Kimball. Jesse, congratulations on your victory this
week,
sir.
You got the...
Congratulations on your victory, sir.
I forgot to talk about that on Nerd Up today as well. But anyway, no.
I called you out specifically on Facebook for that.
Okay, so...
She doesn't read the news. She doesn't
know. The very simple version of this. Pre-ordering started, and it made sense. There was a hot game that came out. They didn't ship enough product. You pre-ordered it to guarantee yourself one.
That is what it should be.
And then developers and retailers alike figured out that the pre-ordering system means it's a guaranteed buy. If they pre-order it, they're going to buy it. So they don't have to finish your game. That's just a guaranteed buy. So then they started adding the pre-order incentives to guarantee more buys because it's effectively just selling the game beforehand. That's what it is. And it's become a problem because now whenever you pre-order a game, they already have your money. It doesn't matter if the product's shit. They have your money.
Let's talk about a guy, and we won't mention his name, but we all know who we're talking about. The guy who is a huge Batman fanatic.
Yes.
Oh, who went through and had to pre-order the game at several different stores
to get everything.
Just so he could get all the pre-order bonuses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that is my probably, I don't know if that's my first or second biggest problem with it because it is ridiculous that they have so many different bonuses and these companies make deals, so you have to go to so many different places to get them. And there are certain things I will not buy a game three times for just to get an extra skin.
No.
Right? Even though I want it all. But I think my biggest problem with it is that, Jesse, you're right. Pre-orders should be a point for people who want to make sure they get a game. If you have a game that has a risk of selling out, you pre-order it to guarantee you a copy. Makes sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But now they don't even use it to gauge how many things to make. It's like if you have 5 million pre-orders on a game, you make 6 million. That way you've got enough for pre-orders and some extra ones. It's still a hot title. But why would you ever want to pre-order Call of Duty when there's 9,000 copies of Call of Duty
Fallout
available?
4.
Yeah,
why should I even pre-order Fallout 4? It's going
to
be there.
Now, there are some games that you do have to pre-order to get. There really are. There are some that are so tightly allocated.
Mostly Nintendo.
Nintendo is mad about it.
3DS. Because Nintendo doesn't give a shit what, like, anything happening around them. They are so clueless to everything around them.
They have a set amount of money they want to make, and that's it. No more, no less. We're hitting that number.
Yeah. And, I mean, they straight out said, like, we don't know why Amiibos are selling well, so we're not going to change what we're doing until we figure it out.
Here's some free money. I don't want that money.
I don't trust that money. That money's hot.
I got a Green Ninja and a Bowser Jr. this week.
And fuck pre-orders.
I was amazed. Yeah, no. I was like, oh my God, they actually restocked.
Yeah. So, again, it's a message that I've been delivering in basically every show that I can possibly deliver it in. Don't pre-order games. Get your collector. If you want the collector's edition, by all means, slap down some money on it. It's collector's edition. It's going to be limited. You know, that's a game that you trust. You want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Shannon.
Plus, one of the most frustrating things about pre-ordering games now is that the pre-order bonus is in the fucking game when you buy it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How many of them? It used to be that you would get a code and you'd put that code in, and that was special, like the Juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
But now, almost all of those pre-orders
ran out of codes.
But all the codes are in the game. If you go, how many times I have bought, like Elder Scrolls, I bought it from,
you made me pre-order from GameStop instead of getting a Best Buy where I could get my 20% off.
Yeah.
Because there was supposed to be, there's supposed to be some really awesome extra content. Like, you could do whatever race you wanted in whatever area you wanted.
And I wanted to make sure you got a pre-order for it so you could do that.
Right.
But then it's in the game.
Yeah.
It's like EA Sports.
It's in the game.
I see what you did there.
Bullshit.
There are some companies that's doing this right. Like Bethesda. Okay. The Fallout Anthology. This really pretty anthology set for PC, right? They were like, get pre-orders on it now. Let's see how many we can get. Okay. So they hit their allocation. And so Bethesda went back to the manufacturer and said, how many more of these can you make before the launch, because we've ran out of pre-orders? How many more can you make? And they got them another allocation. So some companies use this as, you know, a positive way. But GameStop doesn't. GameStop just uses it as
your guarantee money.
You know how many times I heard you're going to fail your month of October because you didn't get so many pre-orders on this game. And you're 10 copies down, so you just flush $600 down the toilet.
Wait, because for whatever reason, GameStop has in their minds that if the game isn't pre-ordered, it's not going to sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the DMs do anyway. The DMs have it in their minds. So they're like the ones like slamming this down your throat.
Well, for our stores, was there an allocation that we had 10 reservations, they were going to send us 10 games? No. They would always go, you had 10 reservations, we're going to send you 150 games.
Yeah. Or
it doesn't matter.
Or when they would send you just enough, but then they tell you to sell through them.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you
another like reservation.
I'm going to tell you another. I'm going to tell you another little GameStop dirty secret. Okay, so a game comes out on Tuesday. I've got 10 pre-ordered. I've got 5 extra. I sell through those 5 extras. I get on the computer. I send a message to product allocation that says I've sold all 5 of my copies. Can you have me 10 more? And by the next day, I've got 10 more.
Yeah. And they'll say,
they used to do that. They do it now, though.
Yeah.
They would just tell you, sell through the pre-orders.
Yeah.
And then
they would tell you, like, we'll get restocked.
That was vanilla.
Yeah. The business model differences between GameStop and Gaming Grounds.
All right. Here's the biggest thing between GameStop and Gaming Grounds. And this is from the heart. I'm not saying this because I work here. Gaming Grounds actually cares about our customers. We fuck up. Sometimes we fuck up pretty bad. We'll make mistakes, we'll screw up orders, but we care about the customers. We love video games. We want you to have a good time and get what you want, even if it's not with us. GameStop wants your money, and if you don't want to give them money, fuck you.
Oh, yeah, you remember how Jackie chewed me out for sending someone to Best Buy because we were out of a product that I knew they had?
Yeah, I got in trouble for sending someone to Best Buy or Walmart or whatever because we didn't have it, they had it. I wanted to make sure the customer was taken care of.
Okay, let's clarify a little bit of Shannon because there are good people that work at GameStop.
Absolutely.
There are good people that work at GameStop. All 4 or 5 of us sitting here, we're good people
that worked
at GameStop.
We used to be great people.
Yeah, exactly. The people
it's not
are good.
Shitting on the people that work there. It's your job. You do a great job at what you do.
The corporation
now,
makes you do
there
it.
There are some shitty people that work at GameStop. You see those stories all the time.
Yes, Jeremy was there.
But there are good people. There are plenty of good people that work for that company. It's just a bad company to work for.
Yeah, absolutely.
The corporation is the problem. Like the employees in general are fine. But, and I mean, they're also pretty good about brainwashing even the employees. Like, you remember how angry we would get when people wouldn't pre-order something?
Oh, yeah.
Or well, how.
Do you remember how we would defend GameStop?
Oh, yeah.
When I would read something online that said, well, it's fucked up that you can open up a new game and, play it. And it's like,
well, there's all
new.
These restrictions and we can't, what the fuck are you doing?
I know what he's doing and I can't mention it on the air. So please go on.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
So anyway.
Not a hand job.
What about a
not a hand job?
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
It could be.
You can dream.
I want to tell you a funny story, okay? Because this is on a corporate end.
That's a good transition.
Okay. At one of my GameStop manager conferences that I went to, there used to be the head guy of the company was Mike Gazura. Mike was, for all intents and purposes, an awesome guy.
Yeah.
He gets up on stage one day, and apparently he has a whole speech prepared. He quits the speech midway through, and he's like, I'm going to tell you just straight up here, okay? He goes, a lot of you guys bitch because you have those TVs in your stores.
Fucking TVs, man.
People say, oh, they're turned up too loud. Oh, well, you know what? You're not the one that controls the volume. We control the volume. Get over it. He goes, there's reports that come into my office every day. Those reports sit on my desk. You know what? Screw them. I throw them in the trash can. I don't even look at them.
Holy shit.
And he goes he just goes on like this 15-minute rant, and everybody's cheering for him. Guess what? 2 weeks later, he didn't have a job.
How about that? Holy shit. Who knew?
Cause and effect.
He told the truth.
You sound like all four of us.
He told the truth, and there. 2 weeks later, he didn't have a job.
That's what happens when you speak the truth.
That's what happens when you speak out against GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
They'll fucking find you. Mm-hmm. As soon as I got fired from GameStop, the first thing I did was call John.
Yeah.
I called John and said, John, take off your Facebook. Don't get fired like I did. And Justin Mann almost got fired for the same thing, just for liking the status. If you want to get technical, Kevin's the reason I got fired.
Well, I want to hear it.
Because, Kevin,
wait, I was already gone at this.
You were gone at this time, and you replied to my thing about Jackie or what was her name?
J-Mac
being raped and murdered, and you asked who's J-Mac, and I said, "Oh, it's GameStop spokesperson," and they told me that's the reason I got fired is because I mentioned GameStop.
Yeah, well, we're gonna.
I see. But yeah, I'm
not,
still.
It's not really your fault.
No, I mean, I'm. What's up, man?
Hey, it's fine.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Fuck them all, man. Fuck them. There's so many people that I'd like to fuck.
What? I still,
hold on. Give me a sheik.
I
give
guess.
Me a
sheik.
Fuck him, bullshit!
Question.
No, I was gonna say, I kinda maintain that Justin Mann was also let go for the same reason, for liking the status, but he was just given the, you have 2 weeks to find your replacement.
You know what's sad though is that Justin Mann though, out of all of us, he was just the nicest guy.
Mann was the one that-
He was the corporate backer, like he was a corporate pony.
He was the one that pushed the corporate line the most, and he's the one that probably got dicked over pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we were all rebels. We all fucking spit in the face at GameStop.
And he got put right in our store.
Yeah.
Like, with all of us.
Especially Kevin at first.
Oh, man. My God. I mean, I didn't want to bring it up.
Oh. I remember sitting at a party at Fat's house, and we were like, hey, Justin Mann's coming. And Kevin's drinking. He's like, fuck him. I'll fucking knock him out if he comes in. Like,
knock that motherfucker out.
Have you met him yet?
No, fuck that dude, man. Because Kevin coming to my store, acting like you fucking run the place.
Kevin had a problem that I didn't get the store.
Right.
Yes. the big motherfucking number one was always, every single time, and it happened at all the stores, even after EB Games shut down and we went over to GameStop, was this person deserves the next spot. Brock came in. I liked Brock. That motherfucker brought me cheesy fries every day.
He was awesome.
But Brock then was a cool guy. He gets fired after like 3 weeks. What happened? I don't know.
He got fired because somebody in his store, it was a holiday hire, took in a PSP that had porn on it.
I remember that.
Brock wasn't in the store.
God damn it. Yes.
Because I think that was Cole Kramer.
It was.
Because he didn't delete it, right?
Yeah, he didn't delete it.
He didn't format the system.
Right.
But Brock wasn't even there. And Brock got fired for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got wrote up just a few weeks before I quit GameStop for my store when I was on vacation for a week. I got a write up for it.
Man.
While you were gone.
While I was gone.
You remember the behavior we exhibited whenever you went on vacation?
Like, you know what, Jesse?
At 261.
When I went on vacation.
Old wounds are about to be opened here.
No. Here's the deal. When I went on vacation at 261, I knew I could go on vacation. I knew I could leave that store. I knew on my days off I wouldn't get a phone call. You know why? Because this motherfucker sitting right here could run a store.
Hey, guys.
Yep.
That's you, Jesse.
Oh, boy.
And that's no blast against the guys I worked with over at Seamers.
They just didn't have the experience.
But I'm just saying, I could do things and not have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. I think the nicest thing you ever said about me, John, was when Jeremy and I think Justin Mann went to conference. And they came back. And Jeremy got onto your ass about the performance. And he said, why did 261 do better than us, blah, blah, blah. And you said, you want to know why? I'll tell you why. Shannon Young. And I was like,
damn,
that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Yeah, well, after this, I'll unzip your pants and give you more.
Well, I mean,
Lindsay, turn your head.
Is it only?
No, Lindsay, don't.
Look me in the eyes.
Stare at me while he does it.
Pat me on the head, Shannon, while I do it.
All right. Well,
we got another one.
The next question from John Volkerding. We got one more question from John Volkerding. What did GameStop stop selling? I'm guessing he meant why. Why did GameStop stop selling retro games / consoles?
Okay, can I'm jumping in this motherfucker right now.
Get on in it.
Retro, I guess that's a, how far back do you want
to
go?
It's relative to the generation, I think. Now retro would be PlayStation 2 and original Xbox and GameCube.
Whereas retro for me is ColecoVision and Atari 2600.
Nintendo, Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I think the umbrella just includes like PS2 generation and older.
Okay.
According to GameStop.
Right.
Not in my book, PS2 is not retro.
No.
But go on.
We stopped taking this shit because we're going to go on a rant here because these motherfuckers would come in with PS2 games stacked to the brim,
yeah,
with tubs of PS2 games.
They still do.
No. Why don't I get? Why I paid $60 for this game, man? This is Madden 94. You didn't buy it for $60 in 94 anyway. And two, it's been 12 plus years. Why the fuck do you think I would give you $60? You're gonna get a dollar for this.
Well, see,
at most,
you
and it's scratched, so I gotta dock you 75 cents.
Even
it plays.
Even current day, somebody brings in, oh, why am I only getting 75 cents for Halo 4? You know why? Because it was one of the biggest selling games on Xbox 360, and I got 100 of them sitting in the back room.
Yeah. Oh my
That's
god.
That's why I'm giving
back
you 75 cents.
Gears of War 261.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Gears of War now.
Let me do a category count. I got 560.
No, Kevin, that got worse. There was around Christmas time during what,
You had to make a shelf in the back.
Yeah, no, we did. I actually built shelves for 261 to hang them back there.
I remember telling me that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I brought in a saw, I brought in wood and all this shit to actually make shelves because they would send us during what I like to call the great swelling and the mall store. They would send us boxes. Like we would have a 150 piece box. And the entire box would be Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Gears of War.
God damn.
Like 150 copies of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. All right, we had a Call of Duty shelf.
Yeah.
It was just Call of Duty games stacked, like hundreds of them. It was insane.
I still remember when customers would come in and I would just get frustrated and I would tell the customers like, hey, do you want a copy of Halo 3? Because we got 20 on the shelf. They just sent me 20 more.
You and your friends would do that too. You and your friends get a LAN party together. Come on.
Yeah, because that was the other thing. They would send us, Gears of War 2. And I would just go there, like they would send me 75 copies of Gears of War 2, and I would go back to the back room where I already have 50 copies.
And just add them to the stack.
And just put them out there.
Just put them on there.
Waiting for that one guy to come in and go, hi, I work with disabled children. I need 100 copies of Gears of War 2.
Well sir, for you.
It came to the right
place. By the way,
here's
a motherfucking power-up card. All right?
Hey, Shannon, remember that wonderful picture I sent you about 2 days before I left of the four games?
No, all John. What pictures you sent me?
It was a picture. Okay. 4 for $20. All four of those games were $5 a piece.
Goddamn. We need some Common Core up in this place.
Enough circles on this page right now.
That ain't right.
But it works. It's like if you go to Target, it fucking frustrates me. We'll go to Target and there'll be a sign on a new game that says as advertised, $59.99. Oh, you mean it's the same price as everywhere? Thank God.
Thank God. But no, moving back to the PS2 stuff. I remember when they sent us the marketing material saying that as of this day, we will no longer be taking PS2 games on trade. I brought in cake.
You heard
Jesse
the,
was
hey, ju- heard the
Jesse
angel
was
sing.
Jumping up and down. Screaming and yelling. Yes! Thank you, God!
I was celebrating.
But mind you, we were still selling PS2 games. And then people would come in and go, why can't I trade them in? Because you're still selling
them. You're still selling them. And you can just tap.
Listen, just read the motherfucking sign, okay?
So we just stopped taking it. We're clear in stock.
And here's why we don't take PS2 games. Because now at Gaming Grounds, most of the PS2 games that come in here are pretty good. They're good people. But then there's also the kind of people that own PS2 games are the kind that, I think, Billy, you were with me that time. I know Rachel was there. When the guy brought in the garbage bags full of PS2 games.
Or the CD
wallet. With bugs in the live soil.
And
did they have the boxes? That's the big thing, is why am I getting docked for not having a box? Motherfucker, I'm not gonna, you wouldn't buy a game that doesn't have a box, would you?
I think that's,
no. Well, okay, that's why I'm charging you to not have the fucking box.
That's another Kevin quote I use all the time of when someone says, I wanna trade this in. I can't take this. Why not? It works. Would you buy this? No.
Exactly.
That's why I can't take it in.
Hey, I'm you not gonna buy something? Either.
Get out.
Then get the fuck out.
Oh my God.
That was, oh, good old days right there. Man, no, I also hate the people that bring in the CD wallets of the really old and worthless games.
Fucking Dave Mahoney brought in a CD wallet, asked me what he could trade in for money. He was trying to trade in burned games in his CD wallet.
They work. If you modded your system.
They do work. And a lot of them were for Dreamcast. He's like, yeah, I got Power Stone 2 on Dreamcast.
Did you get,
do you like, have, but do you that's have, just a burned CD.
Do you have Duck Story?
Or Excite BMX?
Entra! I need Entra!
You gotta get the Japanese Plumber Brothers. They ain't got names, but that's brothers. Fine. Don't worry about it.
So yeah.
You're still looking for that diamond.
So I guess, John, we didn't really answer your question,
what
but the real
the
thing
question?
Is, like, why don't they sell retro games / consoles? And the real reason
spacing.
Is space.
Yeah.
They don't have room.
I think we just danced around it for 10 minutes laughing. Space.
Space.
Yeah,
that was
because. Like, I don't know if you ever went into 261. That place was crowded as shit.
How are you supposed to have space for Super Nintendo games when you got a wall full of Gears of War 2s?
Well, all the shit that they're starting to cram in now, it's getting even hard for stores like the Seamer store.
You guys have so many toys now.
That's
true.
Okay, don't get me started on the fucking toys, okay? Because here's why GameStop sells
puzzles,
toys. Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Buy the original Zelda. You get a fucking puzzle the whole game.
Here's why GameStop sells toys and t-shirts now. Okay.
Here's some more stuff that's going to get us litigation.
Yep. Okay, here you go. Profit. You know why?
Like
because when GameStop goes to their investors and they say, we're looking to increase our profits this year. Okay. So they're going to find something that makes them a lot of profit. Guess what? That $30 Monopoly you're buying only costs GameStop maybe $5.
Yeah.
Look at all the profit you're making. Toys are a huge profit.
Oh, the pop vinyls? I can only imagine, like, the people that created the pop vinyl figures are just, like, laughing hysterically
like
somewhere in piles
Pokemon.
Of money.
I see them in decent proposal style laying on a bed laughing in their money.
Yeah.
Because of people like Zach Price, who goes there and buys.
Or he who must not be named.
$300
versus. I have a pop vinyl addiction.
I don't have. We don't. Yeah, we don't have an addiction per
I do.
Se.
They
but
also haven't come out with Sailor Moon ones yet.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I buy, like, I see some that I like. And I buy
Hurry
them.
Up,
like, I do have quite a few of them, but I don't have, like, I don't go out hunting them. I don't seek them.
I'm just glad they didn't do more of the Heroes of the Storm figures.
GameStop.
Because I would be upset.
GameStop originally sold those for $10. They realized how popular they were, so they raised the price on them to get more profit off of them.
It's only a matter of time before GameStop starts getting exclusive pop vinyl figures.
So, they already do.
So the question is,
I've got like five of them at home.
When does GameStop stop selling games? Because that seems to be where it's going.
It's like MTV. Like, they'll still be called GameStop, but they won't really carry games, especially if everything goes
digital.
It'll
be like gaming paraphernalia, and they'll sell you codes.
Yes. GameStop just opened. Well, first of all, they acquired ThinkGeek about two months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Last week or the week before, they just opened up their first ThinkGeek retail store.
I wish they would acquire AIDS.
Ha! Indeed. Indeed.
Anybody remember back in the 80s there was a chocolate laxative called AIDS?
Yes. Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
I don't.
There's commercials
online,
about get AIDS.
Yeah. I got AIDS and I feel better.
I mean, why wouldn't you? Come on.
No. I guess AIDS really wasn't a hot deal until
it
like
wasn't
the 90s.
Because,
no,
because
it, well, no,
honestly,
it was
back
hot.
In, back
it,
in just,
it was
back,
real hot.
Back in, back in, burning. Back in the early 80s, excuse me, I'm just talking history. Back in the early 80s, AIDS was the gay disease. It was the fag disease.
Yeah.
It wasn't known as.
It was
for the
that
record,
all the way up until the late 90s.
That's what they called it.
Just for the record, Big Johnny's not saying
he's not
fag.
Bad.
No,
he's like,
I'm quoting
what
history.
Said,
I'm
yeah.
quoting history yeah. here.
Big
That's
six.
What they referred to it because it was,
that was the only one to contract.
It was spreading through the homosexual community, especially in like the New York.
San Francisco gay party scene.
Sean Penn?
There was one just recently on HBO that has like every awesome mainstream homosexual actor in it. And I don't remember what it was called. It had Mark Ruffalo in it. He's like the only straight actor in it.
I was like, wait a minute.
No,
Mark Ruffalo?
No, but
he has
it
a
had,
child.
It has like, it has
it's
like,
a miracle.
it has like Jim Parsons in it and other, like I said, very prominent homosexual actors in it about the, like I said, they were calling it the fag disease back then because
yeah.
that's what it was. And we've gone completely off tangent, but,
this is showing AIDS, right?
Yeah.
No, I actually, my dad back in the early 90s, to keep me and my little brother from digging into every soda machine we saw for change to see if anybody left them. Again, early 90s, I was like 5 or 6. Man, money was money. So
damn.
Every time we passed by a soda
machine.
He's
been hustling since 5.
So my dad told us that certain people of a certain persuasion would prick themselves with needles to get like their blood on the needle and then stick them inside those change machines.
To give people AIDS.
To give other people AIDS for trying to get their change out.
Well, if you listen to Pat Robertson. Yeah, Pat Robertson for the 700 Club. They were all trying to give the gift to each other.
Huh. Yeah. Huh. Well.
He's a piece of shit. He's going to hell real fast.
Super fast.
I don't know a single Christian.
He pre-ordered his ticket to hell.
He got the DLC.
The devil's going to be like, welcome.
I tried to do robot devil.
Did it work?
It did.
He also got the season pass.
He got the season pass.
He pre-ordered the season pass.
He's getting the pineapples up the ass.
Best thing for you is on your credit card, so it just keeps lapsing. You can't even cancel it.
Just keep the tab open.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Jesse, we got more questions. We wrap this up.
No, that was it.
That's it.
That was all the questions.
Okay. The name of that movie, that the HBO movie, was called The Normal Heart. Just to let you know. Check it out. Interesting movie.
Was it a good movie?
Very good movie. Like I said, because he's trying to convince non-homosexuals that this is a real disease that's going to affect a lot of people. And they're like, no, it's just a gay disease. It's just something killing the gays.
You know what I watched over the weekend? Sweeney Todd.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
You know what I watched last night?
It is.
Johnny Depp, man. You can't go wrong with that.
It's a good musical.
It's a musical. Johnny Depp can't sing that well, but there are certain parts he's good
I like
at.
Sacha Baron Cohen in it.
He's the best.
Yeah, he's
yeah. Sacha Baron Cohen is the best part of that movie by
last
far.
Last night, I kicked off my Halloween by watching The Conjuring.
That's a good movie. We started with Dark Was the Night. Have you seen it?
I am fascinated by the real life stories of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Did you listen to Terrifying Tanner Thursday?
No, I have not yet.
That was actually, The Conjuring was one of the movies that I plugged because I thought it was really good. And I've followed
the Warrens. Like, you know me, I'm a paranormal guy. Me and Tanner both are. And I've followed the Warrens. I've been fascinated with their stories because I've read everything I can about them. I'd love to go to their house and see all of those haunted objects.
Because that was actually something that we were talking about a little bit on Terrifying Tanner Thursdays. Like, that would be a great place to take, like, me and Ace of the skeptics
to show you all the stuff there.
Yeah.
Like the real life doll.
Annabelle is really a Raggedy Ann doll.
Yeah.
It's not like this
they
cute
just can't
porcelain doll.
For,
yeah,
you know, copyright reasons, they
couldn't
put it in.
Just like Child's Play. What are they called, Lindsay? What were the actual dolls called?
My Buddy.
They couldn't do My Buddy, so they get
the
good guy dolls.
The good guys.
Yeah. We watched Curse of Chucky, too.
Mm.
I like it.
Yeah.
What are we talking about again? GameStop? Oh, fuck GameStop.
I really like
the synopsis.
GameStop's the fag disease.
We need to do a show on remakes.
You didn't even
in Hollywood.
Get the sorry, Billy.
No, sorry.
He's got a pat.
Yeah. How about that?
Oh, I love Billy. Billy laid his head on my shoulder earlier. He gets a pat.
Shannon, let's do a show on remakes of movies that don't need to be remade.
Like every movie that's been remade.
Like The Poltergeist?
Poltergeist, I haven't
watched
yet.
I did not
yet.
Like that remake.
I was a little bit of a fan of the new Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nope.
I was a fan of the Katie Cassidy. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have sex with her.
But yeah, no, I kicked my October off with was actually the remake of The Poltergeist. Because I wanted to watch some new stuff that I hadn't seen before.
I'm sorry, are you guys saying Poltergeist or Poltrygeist?
It's the Poltrygeist.
Are you saying Poltergeist?
Poltrygeist.
No, it's the Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
No, it's the Poltergeist.
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 It's like going to the pole.
Let's move on. Jesse, we're good.
Don't go into the light, Caroline.
Jesse set up us the bomb.
I know math, not words. I'm not an eloquent speaker.
Johnny Depp and Sweeney Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, in horror movies, you know what Johnny Depp's first movie was?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't quiz me about movies, son.
Oh shit.
Uh-oh.
That's the next show.
Uh oh.
Do what it's
gonna
do
be.
It.
Get you
don't quiz me about movies.
Quiz me on a movie. I'll hit you up, man. I got you.
When you put me on the spot, I can't think of a fucking
See?
Thing.
See?
Three Kings.
Who?
Yeah.
Three major actors.
Ice Cube.
Let's see.
George Clooney. Mark Wahlberg.
Damn it!
And even had little Spike Jones in it too.
Who was Lamont Cranston?
Lamont Cranston,
The Shadow.
Oh,
The Shadow.
Man, I like that movie.
The Shadow. The
I
Shadow wasn't
that,
that bad.
Oh, who was
it?
It
was cheesy.
Who was
though.
The Shadow?
It was Baldwin.
Yeah. It was Baldwin.
It doesn't matter. Just say Baldwin.
It was
one
of the Baldwin.
One of Baldwin. One of
they cycled Alec. The Baldwins. Actually.
It was Alec.
Just dictated
all right,
on
Lindsay,
the
I have a question for you. In Up. There was, remember we paused it because we were like, oh, there's a GameStop ad, but it wasn't GameStop. Do you remember the name of the store?
Game Go.
Game Go.
But it was still red and
it was still white. Red and white.
No, it was red and green.
Red and green.
But yeah. It was clearly
game, that makes sense. Game Go. Yeah. I'm retarded.
GameStop can go.
GameStop can go.
Fuck itself.
Oh.
And that's where we'll end this off, X. We're at an hour and 20 minutes.
Fuck.
I think this may be the longest show we've ever done.
Last week was pretty long, too.
Well, we own the network. We'll go long.
Fuck it, man.
We'll
go long. Yeah, fuck it. We'll go long.
But I'm hungry. She's hungry.
We're hungry. Advise the everyone we're going long.
Yeah. We went long.
So good.
If you've listened to it at this point, you realize that we went over our budget.
We went long and hard.
So, unfortunately, Nerd Up will be canceled tomorrow.
I'd just like to say.
Honestly, I wouldn't.
Just like say, hi, honey, I'm on my way home.
Wait, we'll talk about that later.
This,
wait,
I'll
motherfucker,
be home.
I'm in town.
Hold on. Nerd Up, then I got up for nothing this morning.
Okay, that's true. Lindsay's on Nerd Up tomorrow, so make sure you listen to it. Right. Also, I heard Steven and Captain Valium were there.
Captain Valium.
Damn! Wasn't that the guy that...
Damn!
Oh, shit.
Wait.
All right, guys, we need to hit stop.
Prince Valium from Spaceballs?
Prince Valium.
Prince Valium. That was supposed to marry Princess Vespa.
I gotta stop. All right, we're gonna cut this off. We hope you guys enjoyed part two.
Love you guys.
Of GameStop Tales. We might do a third one. This is fun.
I'll come back.
Let's just make it a series.
I'll drive back down.
Let's do happy GameStop stories next week.
That'll be a short show.
Happy stories?
Yeah, it'll be a short show. We'll figure it out. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Kevin, for appearing. It was so good to have you here. John, always a pleasure.
Whoop whoop.
Jesse, always here because we're here constantly.
Yeah.
Lindsay and Billy to my sides. Thank you for being here and showing support. Thank you guys for listening. Enjoy Nerd Up tomorrow. And then Tuesday, we'll do something. We'll see you then. Have a good night and have a great start to your week.